हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Okay, so now in the chapter Burning the Kandava Forest. So Krishna and Arjuna, Balaram and everybody else from Dwarka went back to Dwarka. And Krishna stayed back to spend some time with Arjuna. I think it's also the rainy season, so then it's natural. You're going to sit somewhere, so you're not going to go out and do things, so you can sit. And then he spends some time. They go out for a walk one day. Then Agni comes out as a Brahmin asking charity. Then they agree that, you know, whatever he wants, you know, he says, I want to be fed. You know, so he says, okay. And so then he says, I want to eat this forest, right? And then he says that Agni concluded, I now depend upon you too, right? Because this is Nar Narayan to the demigods, right? I must eat this forest. Brahma has also informed me that the living entities within this forest are sinful and should be destroyed. In other words, it's coming up, they're not just irregular animals and all that, that are, you know, of course, to be born as an animal, there must be sin, but you're burning it off. These ones, they've come in that form to be sinful. So it's, yeah, something else. Therefore, do not harbor any doubts. This act is sanctioned by authority. Arjuna replied, I possess many celestial weapons, but I have no bow capable of bearing their power. Right? So you have to have the celestial, they require special bows, very strong bows and all that. You can see, like before, he used the Agniastra on the Gandharva king, Chitrarata, but he used a torch. You know, because it was just in his hand, he chanted the mantra and threw that. You know, some of these Brahmins pick up a blade of grass, chant the mantra and throw it. So he's saying is the bows, he is not capable of it. He can shoot his regular arrows and whatever like that. If I am to achieve the task you have set, I will require an inexhaustible quiver of arrows and a chariot drawn by celestial steeds. If you can provide all this, then we will surely accomplish your desire. Because the demigod has come to ask for a boon, you know, Agni himself. So he's one of the main Dikpalas, you know, one of the main managers of the universe. And so then, you know, something great like this, because he's going to fight against the demigods. He's not saying, oh, I need an army, I need this. No, he just needs what he needs for himself, like that. And so the point is the demigods have the work, the demigods can provide. Agni meditated on Varuna, God of the netherworlds, and the deity immediately appeared and said, what shall I do for you? Agni knew that Varuna kept many celestial weapons in the depths of the ocean. Therefore he asked him to present Arjuna with the celestial bow known as Gandiva, as well as two inexhaustible quivers of arrows. So, for bowmen, they, you know, you either shoot right-handed or left-handed. You know, so most people will be shooting right-handed. So you'll put the quiver where, from your right hand, you can access this, because the left hand will hold the bow, so you can't put the bow down, get an arrow and all that. So you'll draw the arrow and you'll shoot, or you'll draw the arrow and you'll shoot, wherever you're keeping them, you know, or from here and shoot or something. So then here, because Arjuna, one of the famous things is he can shoot with either hand. I think his name is Sabyasachi. That means he's just as good with either. It's not that he's good with his right and he's okay with his left. He's just exactly the same with both. So therefore, if he has two arrows, two quills, then he can pull from either side. And that makes it perfect, because if you're shooting an enemy here, you would shoot this way. But if they're over there, then you put the bow this side and then shoot that way. So you just switch the bow and then the arrow, and then switch the bow and then the arrow. So, you know, that way he's, you know, special. So he got him two. Agni also asked that Varuna bring forth a chariot belonging to Soma, the moon god. Varuna agreed and caused all those things to appear at the spot. Arjuna looked with wonder at the Gandiva bow. It appeared like a rainbow embedded with celestial gems. As tall as a man, it was flawless, right? So in other words, it was the full height of somebody, like that. And then you pick it up in the middle, so then you have, let's say the person is 6 feet tall, you know, then you hold the bow in the middle, so it's 6 feet tall. You hold the middle, so it's 3 feet from the ground and then 3 feet up, right? And so then, but that would be the size of the bow. The modern, I think the English developed the long bow. So they had something basically that size, but it wouldn't have quite the technical, way it was of manufacture of the Indian bows. The Indian bows were like these compound, they just, you know, come and then you bend them back, or double bows, like this kind of thing. But they were just straight bows. They were just straight. But because they were so big, they were very effective for long distance. So they were quite strong. I think, I can't remember what was the pull on them, but it was, at the time, then they had a law that after church on Sunday, then every able-bodied man had to go to the town, the, you know, the village or town square and practice archery. So basically everybody was trained for shooting arrows. You know, and that way then over time, you start when you're young and not like that, then you build the strength you can pull, because they're very powerful bows. Now, Gandiva will be even more powerful, because he said he already has a powerful bow. But then Gandiva is a celestial bow. I'm not sure it'll mentioned here, but the bow, I think, may have been produced by Brahma. Then Brahma then handed it down, and this way it got down to Varuna. The Pandava took up the shining bow and forcibly twanged its string. A sound like the crash of thunder resounded throughout the forest, terrifying all the creatures, right? So if you take a regular bow and you pull it, you get a bit of a twang to it. But it's said to be, it's bad for the bow. But these bows are so powerful that you can, he does it forcefully, you know, just to see the power of it and everything, and the way it snaps back. It makes such a sound like lightning, you know, a thunder, that all the living entities in the forest become afraid. It's a very powerful bow. Holding the bow, the joyful Arjuna next approached the huge golden chariot, right? Because it's a war chariot, so they'll be very big, because you have to keep all your weapons and everything else in there. And you can move around, because the chariot driver is driving, you don't have to drive. So he can stand in the front of the chariot, shoot, he can go to the back and shoot, he can go to the sides, you know, wherever it is that is the best for approaching the enemy. It was filled with varieties of celestial weapons, as well as the two inexhaustible quivers Agni had requested. The chariot was yoked with golden harnesses to silvery steeds from the land of the Gandharvas. Like, remember before that, was it Chitrarata? Or he had a different, there was a Gandharva's name. But it might have been, no, Angaraparna. Chitrarata is another one of his friends. Angaraparna had said he'd give him 100 celestial horses, because it seems to be, when it comes to horses, Gandharva's got horses. Like nowadays, the Arabian horses, those are the horses. Of course, in Rajasthan, they'll say they're originally from there, and they were taken there, and they've cultivated them nicely and developed them. But whatever, the Gandharvas, they're the Wallas with horses. Right? These horses were capable of going anywhere within all the worlds. Right? So where it means, if you know how to drive, because someone, you have to know how to drive horses so they can fly also. It's not, otherwise they'll just run on the ground. But like Daruka and King Nala, and that, they knew how to take horses and make them fly. It's certain horses only that can do it. It's not every horse. They have to have certain lakshanas. So these, anyway, by nature are capable of that. So you can drive, you can take them anywhere in the universe, as long as you're capable to go anywhere in the universe. These, they can go, not necessarily you can, but here, Krishna Arjuna, where they cannot go. You see that they'll take this and they'll go through the universe and visit Mahavishnu. So they can, with Krishna driving, they can go beyond. These horses were capable of going anywhere within all the three worlds and can move with the speed of the mind or the wind. Right? So they could go at the speed of mind, but if you want to go a little slower, then the speed of wind. And then if not, then you go whatever speed you like. But it means they can do any of that. Or sometimes you see it's that when they're fresh, they can go at the speed of mind. When they're tired, they go at the speed of wind. Parasurama was like that when he was killing the Kshatriyas. Then, you know, when he'd come out for the battle, because it'd just be him, right? There's one guy with his battle axe. And not even bow and arrow, a battle axe. They would have bow and arrow, but he wouldn't necessarily use them. And then the whole army would come out. And at the speed of mind, he'd just go through and just kill them all. And if it was a really big army, he became a little tired, then he moved at the speed of wind, you know, which is, you know, hundreds of kilometers an hour like that. So it's very fast. You know, it'd be like a what do you call it? A Bugatti Veyron with a battle axe. You know, at full speed. You know, like that. So they can do like that. Above the chariot flew a banner bearing an image of Hanuman, Rama's great monkey servant. Hanuman seemed to be burning everything that fell within his gaze. Right? So it's not just a flag of Hanuman. Hanuman's in the flag. Because he had, I'm not sure, a benediction is given by Hanuman that he'll be there. And so even when during the battle, when he goes out to the battle, you see sometimes Hanuman will roar and elephants will just collapse from the fright and everything. That's just the flag, right? Then you have Arjuna, right? Other flags flew on the chariot bearing images of fierce beasts. All the creatures roared terribly from their standards. So being heavenly is that there, all these different beasts are there on the flags, but from there, they're roaring. And that potency is there. So, very nice chariot. Arjuna folded his palms and walked respectfully around the chariot, and then mounted it like a virtuous man ascending to heaven. Right? So we see that whenever it comes to something like this, he respects, means these chariot, the weapons, all these things, they're all the potency of the Lord, so he has respect. So he shows respect first, then he engages in service, like we see even with the bow. He first, you know, takes permission from Drupad to engage in the fight because they're coming dressed as Brahmins, and generally Brahmins don't take part, so he asked for permission. You can say, well, Brahmins can do what they like, but no, Brahmins are the ones setting the standard for the etiquette, so naturally they'll ask. Because if they don't ask, nobody will ask. Right? Because everybody thinks they're a big god. So, you know, to the bow, he was respectful. You see here to the chariot, he's respectful. So this is one of the things with what you'll see with him is because of his devotion to Krishna and respect for Krishna and everything connected to Krishna. Therefore, he deals with everything properly. So this is the point of Amanina Mana Dana. He's always respectful to everything, you know, like that. He put on the suit of celestial armor that lay there, right? Because otherwise he had regular armor, but he put on the celestial armor that's there. Because if you're going to have the chariot, he needs the army, he has the weaponry, you know, whatever will be the general weapons that they're going to give. They're not specific, like just Agnis, I mean just... So then it won't be like specifically like Pashupata's weapons or Indra's weapons or Brahma's weapons like this. But it'll be general celestial weapons that demigods use. So it's their quality of you know, clubs and bow arrows and all these different kinds of things. It'll be standard weapons that they'll use. As he stood with a Gandiva in his hand, he resembled the sun shining from behind an evening cloud. He then drove the chariot around, smiling as he heard the loud rumble of its wheels. Because the wheels were done, so it wasn't like perfectly smooth. It means they were done very, and they're very powerful, but they would rattle a bit, like that. You know, that way you can get through things and just like that. But the rattle would be like the rumbling of you know, thunder or clouds like that. So that itself also made something that was very formidable. Just the sound of the chariot would also, if people were weak-hearted, it would disturb them. So these battle chariots were very special. They made that sound on purpose. It wasn't supposed to be this silent, quiet, you know, just going. No, they made sound. Varuna also gave Krishna a club called Kaumodiki, which roared loudly when wheeled about and which could crush even daityas and danavas. Right, so just as you swing it, just the sound that it'll make, it'll roar. So how they design it, how they make it and everything. Krishna then mounted Arjuna's chariot, saying that he would become the driver, right? Because then you can go anywhere. Krishna means no one's going to be a better driver. So in this case, then Arjuna is taking the main. Sometimes you see when they have battles, Nara and Narayan, then it's the other way around. Narayan will do the shooting with the bow, and Nara will sit down and meditate and do all these things. Or they'll both be out with bows and arrows, and just the two of them. So in this case, Krishna says he'll drive, because now they can technically go anywhere. Arjuna will be able to go anywhere, but you can't drive and shoot at the same time. Arjuna again addressed Agni. Oh, fire god, we are now ready to satisfy your request. Armed with the Gandiva and assisted by Krishna, I am able to withstand the entire host of gods united with the Asuras. Right? So generally you say just the host of demigods will be a problem. But he's saying the demigods and the Asuras at the same time fighting, then he's ready. What then to speak of Indra? Therefore, blaze up as much as you like and surround this forest. Agni immediately expanded himself around the forest, right? So he starts to fire out and that burns in, right? And began to consume it with his seven kinds of flames. Because he's not going to just go anywhere and just that. It's a specific forest. He's come to burn just that. Because it has the herbs in that. That will help his digestion, bring back his health. Brahma specifically gave that, meaning that by burning that forest, it will revive his health. But he also, Brahma wanted to rid the planet of these particular demons that are there also. So you don't start from one side, go to the other. You surround the whole thing and then burn in. Because then as it goes, then the inner becomes easier to burn because it gets nicely dried and everything. He took on the fearful appearance. He assumes at the end of the aeon. Oh, that's how you spell it. And when he destroys all things. Okay, with the seven kinds of flames, because there's seven tongues of the fire in which then the offerings are made. And so then you have, the technical points in that of the seven tongues. Lord Chaitanya in the Shikshastika, the first verse, it has seven parts. Cheto Darpa Namarjanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam Shreyakaya Vichandrikavi Taranam Vidya Vadu Jivanam Anandam Buddhivardhanam Pratipadam Purnam Ritaswaranam Sarvatma Snapanam. Right? Then those are the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, those are the seven flames, seven tongues, the kinds of flames of Agni. In the Samkirtan Yajna, in the manifestation of Samkirtan Yajna. Because Yajna then is Agni is there, you make your offerings, so then, yeah. Krishna then began to drive the chariot around the forest. It moved with such speed that it appeared to be continuously present on every side of the forest. It was always going that if you looked here, you'd always see it here. But if you looked there, you'd see it there. He was going so fast that, he was always, yeah. So that's the fun when Krishna does something special. Whenever Arjuna saw a creature trying to escape from the conflagration, he immediately shot it down, right? Because Brahma said these living entities, should be destroyed. So therefore, anyone trying to, if the fire's all the way around, how are they going to get out? So that means they're going up, That means they, you know, they're mystics and all these kind of things. They're taking the form of all these forest creatures, but actually there's some kind of demons and all that. Being slain in the presence of Krishna, the supreme deity, all the creatures dying in the forest assume spiritual forms and ascend to the highest regions of transcendence. So not only that, is that being demons, how else are they going to get any benefit? But how long it'll take before they come around the wheel of samsara and come up to start to be pious and everything again? So very long, thousands of births and like this. But then by Brahma's declaration, then, and with Arjuna shooting them, and then you know, they'll attain liberation with Krishna there, then they'll go back to Godhead. So you see, they all get, so this whole forest of animals, you know, the forest animals, they all go back to Godhead. And Agni gets taken care of, and you've established Dharma by removing the demoniac element. Yeah, so many things done in one pastime. The roar of the fire could be heard for miles. So really big. He was really going for it, Agni. Red, orange, and blue flames shot high into the sky. The lakes and ponds in the forest were boiled dry and the rocks melted. So he was serious. No creature was able to escape from the blazing Kandava forest, and their screams mixed with the crackling of the fire. It blazed up to such an extent that it caused fear even to the celestials, who went in a body to Indra and said anxiously, "Lord of the immortals, why does Agni burn all creatures below? Has the time come for the Lord's destruction?" Because, see, he's been trying to burn this forest for a long time, and Indra always stops it. So then we see that now he gets the opportunity. He's going with such enthusiasm that the fire is so big that the demigods, they think that this is the fire of destruction, you know, at the end of the, you know, either the end of the day of Brahma or the final, they're not sure. Indra looked himself to see what was happening on earth. Feeling concerned for his friend Takshaka, he set out at once to stop the fire, right? Because he's done it before. You know, the fire is there, he comes to stop. But before, Agni would have probably just been trying to burn it, you know, in just a general fashion. But now is, you know, really enthusiastic. He sent down torrents of rain, which fell in columns as thick as tree trunks. Right, so we see sometimes rain comes and it's, you know, maybe like this wide, and just it's really coming down. He's talking about tree like this wide of water coming down. That's even more, you know, it's like, you know, how you say, like, I don't know, like 50 fire engine hoses, you know, like the firemen use all together. So a lot of water. But the rain was turned to steam by the heat of the fire even before it reached the forest below. So it's so hot that it just evaporates on its way down. So it's that hot. That's why they thought it's the time for the world's destruction. Indra then became angry, right? So, you know, he just did a regular thing. Then, oh, okay. And amassed huge clouds that doubled the volume of rain. So, you know, so now it's like the size of, you know, drops like elephants or something, you know. With its flames and smoke rising up, and with lightning and sheets of water falling from the sky, the forest became terrifying. Now, you know, in a storm, it could be quite terrifying. And then you add to that a huge forest fire, and this is not just a regular lightning and water. This is, you know, like a devastation kind of. Arjuna saw Indra's attempt to put out the fire, and he sent hundreds of thousands of arrows in a tight network over the forest. That net of arrows acted as a vast umbrella and completely checked the falling rain. So the first rain, he just evaporated, even so. So, but this next one is even bigger, so then Arjuna put this umbrella over. And so then, because the arrows just go, and by mantra, they just go and put together, and it just makes this complete cover. And so then the water can't get on the forest, it'll go on either side. The Naga King Takshaka was not present in the Kandava forest, but both his wife and son were caught in the blaze. They flew swiftly upwards and were seen by Arjuna. He instantly fired an arrow that severed the snake lady's head. He then trained another arrow upon Takshaka's son, Ashvasena. Seeing this, Indra raised a violent wind around Arjuna that temporarily deprived him of his senses. Ashvasena escaped and disappeared into the sky. So Indra was able to save his son like that. As he regained his senses, Arjuna became angry with Indra. you know, because he, you know, that was his. He used the winds and how to get him back. He shouted a challenge to the god and covered the sky with his arrows. Indra, too, became angry with Arjuna and released his tremendous thunderbolt weapon. Without delay, Arjuna invoked a Vayava weapon, which dispersed the huge black clouds, right? So now they've gotten it, because he's just dealing with the forest and the forest creatures, and the law is you have to use, you can't use celestial weapons. You can only use celestial weapons on those who have celestial weapons or celestials. And so then, up to this point, he's just been using, you know, sastra, just the arrows, not astra, the mantras. And so, I mean, mantras are used as regular thing, like just arrow, you know, being an arrow. It's not that the arrow becomes wind or becomes water or becomes a mountain like this. So taking the arrows, shooting them very quickly, making a lattice work with them, doing all these things, that's just regular shooting. And so now he just used his celestial weapons that just moved all the clouds. So it's not even raining anymore. That powerful wind weapon completely dispelled the energy of Indra's thunderbolts and lightning flashes, because he's all in the clouds. So that means then the rain, the lightning, all those things that are coming, that's coming from those clouds. And so now he's dispersed that. So that aspect of Indra's weaponry is not there. The sky became clear and a gentle breeze began to blow. Agni blazed up even more, fanned by the breeze and fed with the fat in the forest. He filled the sky with his roar. So fire itself makes a crackling sound, and if it's big, it actually has a roaring sound. So he just made it so big. Indra summoned many other celestials to fight with Arjuna, right? So Indra just came on his own. Now he's getting others to come. Hosts of powerful heavenly fighters appeared and began to send their weapons at both him and Krishna. Blazing iron balls, right? So blazing doesn't mean that they're just coming quickly. It means that they're actually heated to the point they're on fire, just that hot. Bullets, rocks, and countless arrows shot towards them. Arjuna countered all the missiles with his arrows. At the same time, he kept down his assailants, who fell screaming into the fire. Arjuna was unconquerable as he stood on the battlefield, releasing his deadly arrows, with Krishna skillfully guiding the chariot. So that's why it says, wherever there's Krishna and Arjuna, there'll be victory. So it's just a pastime, because as Kshatriyas, then, you know, they're always ready for a good fight and all that. You know, and you have to establish the authority, because they're playing the part of humans. So therefore, Arjuna has to follow the rules. Krishna, though, they can't put into that category. Indra then mounted his celestial elephant, Airavata, and rushed down upon Arjuna and Krishna, shouting, "These two are killed." He raised his personal weapon, known as the Vajra, and urging on his elephant. Right, so he has the lightning that's in the clouds, then he has the personal elephant, means weapon that he carries himself, that from there, you know, directly, it's like lightning. Yamaraj took up his death-dealing club, right? So Yamaraj came. Kuvera, his mace. Varuna, his noose. The commander of the celestial army, Skanda, raised his Shakti weapon. And Surya came with a brilliant dart. Like dart means this, they're smaller. It's like handheld, you throw. It's like a short javelin, but it generally has like wings on it and that, because it's short. The other gods charged behind Indra with their own weapons raised. The Vishwadevas, Sadyas, Rudras, Vasus, Marus all advanced in a body towards Arjuna and Krishna, who stood fearlessly below. So you have just one warrior with one charioteer. And he's already technically, you know, as a general approach, already defeated Indra. So now Indra has to personally now take up the fight with him, and he calls all the other demigods. So you have this huge host of demigods coming down to battle with one person. Even though they exerted themselves with full force, the celestials were unable to overpower Krishna and Arjuna. Struck by Arjuna's mystical arrows, the gods were forced to retreat. Indra smiled. because it's his son, so he's got to be happy. He was pleased with Arjuna, who was, after all, his son. And he also understood Krishna's position. So you understand, Krishna's there, Krishna's authorizing it, so it was just some good, clean fun. You know, they come out, they show their might and all that. And it shows the glory of Krishna and Arjuna, because they're Narnarayan Rishi, you know, for the demigods. And so then whatever they do will always be very, very special. Indra knew that no one could overpower Krishna or anyone supported by him. So says Arjuna. So that's the thing. It's one warrior, but that warrior is supported by Krishna. No one can overpower Krishna. So therefore, if Krishna is supporting Arjuna, no one in the whole universe could overpower him. Obviously, Krishna desired that Agni consume the forest. And at the same time, he was enhancing the fame and glory of his friend, Arjuna. Because Arjuna is the one who will be glorified as the one who defeated the demigods. You know, not Krishna. Krishna's there, that's why he's driving the chariot, but whatever he desires. Then, desiring to test Arjuna's power further, right? You know, because the son, he wants to test how well he's been trained, what's his prowess, you know, is he deserving? Indra sent down a thick shower of boulders. Arjuna quickly reduced the stones to dust with his swift arrows. Indra then tore off the peak of a massive mountain and hurled at Arjuna. Not disturbed in the least, Arjuna cut the flying mountain peak into 1,000 pieces that rained down upon the forest below. And it's not a problem. It goes into the forest and they just melt. Right? Indra was gladdened by Arjuna's prowess. He ordered the celestials to withdraw. And as he did so, an invisible voice was heard in the sky. Indra, your friend Takshaka is not in the forest at present, nor will it be possible for you to defeat in battle Arjuna and Krishna. These two are Nara and Narayana. The immortal and invisible rishis, they are worthy of even the gods' worship. Desist from the battle. The burning of the Khandava has been ordained by fate. Having heard that voice, which they knew belonged to the universal creator, Brahma, the gods retired to their own abodes. For 15 days, Agni continued to consume the forest along with its inhabitants. As the forest was destroyed, so it must have been a very big forest for him to be burning for 15 days. Because the way the fire is and all that, that, you know, a very short time any forest would disappear. So this must have been a huge forest. Hordes of Rakshasas, Danavas, and Nagas rushed out in fear. Arjuna cut them down to volleys of arrows. None could even look at him as he released his searing shafts. Gradually, the forest was reduced to ashes, and Agni was gratified. So we see all kinds of living entities are there. So that means if he's burning for 15 days, Arjuna and Krishna are guarding it for 15 days. So that was just the initial when they started, then the demigods came. You know, so that was all this, just the morning pastimes on the first day. Okay, so we'll stop here and then we'll continue the pastime with now he'll meet Maya Danava, he'll meet the demigods, Arjuna. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.